Dear Heavenly Father, thank you as always for this day, for this new day, this new cool day. And we just thank you for the rain. We thank you for all that you provide. We just put our reliance upon you for what we need. And we thank you for what you do provide. We ask for your guidance and your filling of the Holy Spirit for your believers, and that each of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ will rely upon that gift that you've given us through the Holy Spirit to help us understand, grow in our understanding of your word, be able to be bold in sharing it with others who may, some of them may not even want to hear it. But Lord, we have the opportunity before us, and we should take advantage of it. So we ask for your guidance, the guidance of your Holy Spirit, as we continue our study on Psalms and Psalms Book 3. And we just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to show to us. And so I thank you for the people who have come. I thank you for the people who may be listening in as well. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Like I say, we're going to pick up with Psalm 84. I'm going to continue with these last six, I believe it's six Psalms, 84 to 89. And I've kind of taken and broken down each of those Psalms into a smaller number of breakdowns of verses. Most of them I will read through totally because they aren't too long. But the last one, 89, is a little longer. It's 52 verses, so we'll see where we're at when we get to that, assuming we do today. And I'll make some decisions on what we might put together and not have to read every verse. So I just pray that it'll be a lesson for today that we can take with us and maybe continue to encourage us to reread the Psalms and grow in our understanding of what God has provided for us in his book of poetry, if you want to call it that. So we're going to begin, as I said, with Psalm 84. And I'm just going to share my outline of three sections of this. I'm dividing it into four verses at a time. There's 12 total verses. The first four verses I just described by verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. And verses 5 through 8, I used two verses, 5 and 8, blessed are those whose strength is in you, or hear my prayer. In verse 8. And so that's kind of what I want to concentrate on with Korah is the writer of this psalm. And then the last part of the psalm, and this is where the musical number will come in, and I think you'll recognize it probably by the words I'm sharing here from verse 10. Better is one day in your courts. I hope that brings a song to mind that you've heard on the radio or wherever. And I'm going to talk about it in more detail. I've got the artist that recorded it, wrote it, and recorded it. It's been nearly 30 years ago, 28 years ago, that it was come out. And so we'll talk about it as we go through this. So let me just start with that first section, 1 to 4, and I'm going to read it and reflect upon the words, because the first verse, Matt Redman, the artist that recorded the song or wrote the song from this psalm, started with that verse. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And that's the first line, and first verse of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. You know, I just think about that. I don't know if we have them this year or not, but we do have swallow's nests attached to the building, or have in the past. And it's kind of fun to watch them, particularly if you want a bird that will eat mosquitoes, you want to attract swallows. And so there's, it's just interesting that that's part of this this section of Psalm 84. So that's the first four verses. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And then Selah. And so I'll come back and reflect upon the whole thing here in a bit. The second section is 5-8. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Then verse 8, hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. And so that's the second section. And then the last one, and this is the one I'm going to reflect upon a little bit more, verses 9-12. And it reads, look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. And then this verse, which triggered this song, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And then verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So let me just reflect a little bit on this song. I knew it was familiar to me. You know, I remember hearing it. And so I looked it up, and it's on YouTube, so you can go out on YouTube. It's called Better Is One Day. Better Is One Day, written and sung by Matt Redman. I guess it was back in 1997, according to what's on YouTube. And so I just want to refer to the words that's in the song. I encourage you to take time to go out there on YouTube and listen to it several times. The one phrase is repeated 10 times. So it's pretty repetitive throughout it, but that phrase is, better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And that stanza is repeated 10 times through this song. So, but it's a catchy tune, and I think it's worth going out there and looking it up and listening to it. The only other phrases that are used in his song, let me just touch upon them. It starts out, as I said, with the first verse from Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And then it goes on, my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. And so that's how it's introduced. And then the whole phrase, better is one day in your courts and so forth. And then in the middle of that, after the fifth time that stanza is repeated, my heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, your Spirit's water for my soul, I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. And then it concludes with five times repeating, better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. So anyway, that gives you a little bit of something maybe to check out if you choose to. And so that's the first psalm that we need to get through, Psalm 84. And again, the writer of the psalm is Korah. And we'll go on with 85, which is also by the sons of Korah. And so I'll be reading from that as well. I wanted to highlight Psalm 85 with just two definitive, the first two verses and then the rest of it. And I title it, You Restored the Fortunes of Jacob. That's from verse 1. And then in verses 3 to 13, I highlighted, Revive Us Again. And that's verse 6. So I like to pick out, kind of verses that speak to me. And I don't know, it might be something you think about for yourself. As you read through the Psalms, what speaks to you personally? And maybe worth jotting down and memorizing if you choose to, or write it on your mirror, or whatever you might want to do with it. If it's something that kind of touches your soul, touches your heart and soul. And so, but let me read the totality of this, Psalm 85. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. That's what I read first, at verse 1. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. And then it ends with Selah. Again, that time of reflecting upon it, taking it to heart. Then verse 3 to the end, which is verse 3 to 13. Restore us again, O God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord Yahweh will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints. But let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. I want you to remember that term, because righteousness is that that sense of what comes from God in heaven. Righteousness looks down from heaven. In verse 12, the Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. And then it ends with righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. It's God's way. And we'll see here later in one of the Psalms the whole kind of importance of righteousness, justice and righteousness. And I know I harp on it, and I know I've been quoted that that's kind of my favorite phrase, but I think it's so important to understand how many times in the Bible that is used, and I've run across that as I've been going through this study, and so I bring it up. And so, I think it's worth repeating to a degree until it gets too mundane, but that's Psalm 85. And so then next is Psalm 86, and this one is written by David, the only one in this section is by David, and 17 verses, and I divided it into three sections. The first 10, which I referred to verse 6 out of 1 to 10, and the phrase, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And I think that's something that should be on our tongues at all times. You know, when we pray, you know, basically, in some ways, we're pleading with God. You know, we're asking God for His grace and mercy and help in times of trouble or whatever it may be. So yeah, it should be, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And then verses 11 through 13, the key verse I reflected upon is verse 11, which just basically says, and I think it's something that we should relate to, "Teach me your way, O Lord." It's kind of our own little prayer. When, you know, I don't know if you do it. I probably don't do it as much as I should when I read the word. Just start with that. Just asking God to teach us as we're reading. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes in reading scripture, it can be a little difficult to understand. And so we need the help of God through the Holy Spirit to give us an insight, give us an understanding. The main points that I received from it as I read it, but I think we'll have time. So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole psalm. These three things encompass, but there might be something else that would be of importance to someone individually. "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me." I wonder if you've ever reflected upon that. How many times have you done that in your life? I hope it's a lot, because I think we can all need to do that, because sometimes I'll get through this. Everything will be all right. Wait it out, but to call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, and He will answer you. Answer me. Verse 8, "Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." That is a fact and needs to be proclaimed back to God. You alone are God. There's no other. Verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life." I'm sure it was at a time when David was being attacked that he was praying this or proclaiming this. "Men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." And that's Psalm 86. Psalm 87 is just seven verses, and I I kind of divided that in three, verses 1 to 3, then 4 to 6, and then 7 standing alone by itself. And so 1 to 3, I use verse 2, the Lord loves the gates of Zion, his holy hill. And then in verses 4 to 6, he writes in verse 6, this one was born in Zion. And verse 7, all my fountains are in you. Verse 7. So let me read the whole thing just quickly here. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain, that he has, and it will be forever. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said to you, O city of God. And then we have a Selah. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia too, and Tyre, along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion, Selah. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. And that's how it's concluded. Psalm 88 is a little longer. It's 18 verses. I divided it into three parts. Verses 1 to 7, verse 7 specifically, your wrath lies heavily upon me. Verses 8 to 10, with 9 being the center verse. I call to you, O Lord, every day. And then verses 11 to 18, with verse 13 being the critical verse. But I cry to you for help. And so that is the plea here. And so let me read through this. I think we've got time to finish this today, so let me read the totality of this particular psalm. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. Selah. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Selah. Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. And then it finishes with verse 18. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. I think we've probably all gone through that experience, and that's part of life, cycle of life. So it's pretty well the play here is again the sons of Korah. It's a psalm and is made into a song as well. So, all right, we're going to finish up with Psalm 89, and it's one of the longer ones. 52 verses. I divided it. It's by Ethan. Ethan was part of David's contingent. And so I divided in the first four verses, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. That's right at the beginning, verse 1. And then the biggest section, which I lumped together, but I did it again out of my own personal thinking, because verses 5 through 37, I think the highlight of it for me was verse 14, which says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So how many times does God have to say that righteousness and justice is what it's all about? And I know I'm pretty repetitive on this, and it's probably my theme song, if you will, or theme verse. But when this spoke to me in this particular psalm, that his throne, it's all about his throne. Verse 14, let me read that again, and then I'll read the whole thing. Righteousness and justice are the foundation. When you lay a foundation, that's the beginning of the building, of putting it together. The foundation of your throne, and then love and faithfulness go before you. And so what are the important things we can share? Love and faithfulness with each other. So, all right, let me, so that's 5 through 37, 38 to 45. I titled under verse 45, which you have covered him with a mantle of shame. And verses 46 to 52 concludes with the last verse, praise be to the Lord forever. So in the time we have left, and we'll probably finish a little early today, which is fine, but I want to read this whole thing, so let's concentrate on it as we go. Those first four verses I'm going to read together. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Selah. And then the next big section, 5 to 37, I'll just read through that and pick out what stands out to you as you hear it. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord, Yahweh? Who is like the Lord, Yahweh, among the heavenly beings? And I just answer that quickly, no one. In the council of the holy ones, now here again we talk about that council in heaven, that God meets with his angels and with those who he gives orders to and so forth. In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon. Sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. And then here's that verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. You said, I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David, my servant. With my sacred oil I anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him through my name. His horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. Because from his line will come Jesus. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David. And his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. Selah. But you have rejected, you have spurned, you have been very angry with your anointed one. You have renounced the covenant with your servant and have defiled his crown in the dust. You have broken through all his walls and reduced his strongholds to ruins. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have turned back the edge of his sword and have not supported him in battle. You have put an end to his splendor and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with a mantle of shame. Selah. And then the last part, how long, O Lord? And that's a continuing plea. Will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life, for what futility you have created all men. What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? Selah. O Lord, where is your former great love, which is your faithfulness? You swore to David. Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all nations, the taunts with which your enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one. But it ends with, praise be to the Lord Yahweh forever. Amen and amen. Yea, yea, it shall be so. And so that's how book 3 concludes. And so we'll wrap it up today with that. I hope it was beneficial for you. And we'll move on next week to book 4 and pick up the 17 Psalms from Psalm 90 to 106. So if you want to read ahead, that'd be great. And I have to kind of prepare myself ahead of time too, as best I can. So anyway, let's close in prayer. Give those time that want to go and pray before our service to have time to do that. And we'll leave it at this point and pick up next week. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We come before you. We picture you as we do in the throne room of heaven. And we picture Jesus at your right hand. And so we know that that's where our hope lies. And so we thank you for what you have done and what you're still going to do. And so we look forward to what your plan is. And so, Lord, we ask you, as your plan plays out upon this earth in the time we have left, that we can grow in our understanding and recognize that you are working in our day. Even though things can go haywire for a time, and there's a lot of distress in the world, we pray for continued your guidance through all this, and help us to clearly define our belief, our individual belief, as we're tested. That and it can be a struggle sometimes to, we know, Lord, to confess our faith, but help us to do that boldly. And so we thank you for the opportunities we're given. We ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us into what we should share with others, whether they know you or not. And so we just thank you ahead of time for that opportunity. We thank you for this time you've given us in your word. We thank you now ahead of time for our time of worship. We thank you for what's been prepared, each part of our worship service. We thank you for the prayers that will be offered up. We thank you for the prayers that you are already answering. And any prayers that are answered, we can give you the praise and the glory for them. And so we thank you ahead of time for that. We thank you for the time of fellowship we have with one another. We thank you for the people who have come into this place and we have made friendships with and have learned to care for each other. And so we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for that in our time of service as well as we greet each other. We thank you also for the word that will be shared relative to the message and the message that Raymond will deliver from darkness to light out of Genesis. And so we just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to show us in our time of worship. And we thank you for the rest of this day. We thank you for this day, for the graduates that will be graduating this afternoon. And we ask for your blessing upon them. And we just ask that their life will begin anew after graduating from high school, and their purpose in life will be better revealed. So thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And we just ask for your blessing on each of our lives as we leave this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.